style is simple. Introduction. You've learned the basics of making a PowerPoint presentation using a template, and you did some research about what makes someone a good presenter. But what if you create your own presentation from scratch, or want to make significant changes to a template? Humans are visual creatures, and if your presentation doesn't appeal to your audience's sense of sight, you risk your work suffering a death by design. Clearly, it's important to also learn how to design a presentation. Just like an architect uses a blueprint to guide them when they open up their box of tools so that they know what and how to build, a PowerPoint presentation requires proper planning and design. Without it, all the technical skills in the world will not help you create an effective presentation because you won't know what you are even building. We'll also learn new technical skills, such as creating and editing text boxes, shapes, objects, and images. But first, let's learn about the principles of good design. It is important to understand what the term design principles means in the digital media world and what those principles are. Depending on which source you reference, the terms may vary slightly, but regardless, these ideas are considered integral to any kind of design endeavor. Design principles. Unity or harmony. This refers to the sense of cohesion and agreeance that you want all elements of your design to have. This doesn't mean that you can only use one color, font, or type of image, but rather that all elements make sense together. Hierarchy. All great advertisements and digital products help guide the reader or viewer through them by highlighting the most important content first. Think about it. The title of a book is always in the largest font of any text on the cover, right? This helps your eye know exactly where to go and what to focus on first, second, etc. Proximity. The subtitle. It always appears near the title, right? You wouldn't expect to read it on the other side of the page from the title. In fact, if it did appear on the other side of the page, you likely wouldn't even consider it to be a subtitle. You might just interpret it as a random sentence on the page, get confused, and put the book down. After all, we do tend to judge books by their covers. Contrast. While you do what you can so your designs have a sense of unity and harmony to them, you also want to keep visual interest by offering some points of contrast. A few colors, several fonts, and variation of text, images, and other media keep things interesting. Balance. Ideas of symmetry come into play here. Where is the bulk of your design content concentrated on the page? Generally, you'll want things to be centered, but there are always times where it is appropriate to put the focal point of a slide in a corner or off to the side. Emphasis. Similar to hierarchy, which focuses on determining the relationship of elements to each other, emphasis really refers to the element you've determined is the most important on your slide and how you make that stand out. Proportion. When you've established a hierarchy and are considering how to make the most important element that you want to emphasize stand out, you will likely do this by making this element larger in proportion to the other elements on the page. Once you know the point you're trying to make and how design principles can help you, you can get started on designing your slideshow. Composition. The first thing to consider when designing your slides is composition, or the placement and arrangement of visual elements in your slides. This is what all the design principles are about. When working on your slide's composition, the most important design principle to keep in mind is the need for simplicity. As noted German industrial designer Dieter Rams famously said, "The best design is as little as possible." If you've ever sat through a complicated, confusing, or tedious presentation, you already know that simplicity is important. If your presentation has a ton of information on each slide, you're making your audience do the work, and you want to make it as easy as possible for them to just digest your message. So why do presentations so often seem to go on and on? Well, as writer Mark Twain is quoted as saying, "I don't have time to write a short letter, so I wrote a long one instead." It's much harder to create a slideshow that is simple and to the point than it is to include everything you know in the presentation. Creating simplicity requires editing, which means time. To properly edit, we often have to revisit our presentation several times over with fresh eyes. In addition, you might actually be very passionate about the information you are sharing and find it hard to cut things out. Instead of thinking only about the knowledge that you hope to share, empathize with your audience. Think about where they are coming from and how much information they can handle. When it comes to slideshows, simplicity largely translates into the question of how much text to include on your slides. Obviously, this depends on what kind of slideshow you are making. Until now, we've just spoken of presentations as a catch-all phrase, but there are actually, at least, three different types of slideshows, each with their own purposes and applications of the simplicity design principle. Presentation. A presentation is the classic use of PowerPoint. These are the slideshows that are designed for use when presenting in person and are not readily understandable without an accompanying speaker. In other words, these slides just contain the headlines of your presentation. Guy Kawasaki, a Silicon Valley venture capitalist, recommends using his 6-60 rule, no more than 6 words per slide, and no less than 60-point font size. 6 words per slide is a very ambitious figure, and it's useful to have as a goal. Again, this means you can likely only include headlines on your slides. While a challenge, this brevity can keep things more exciting for your audience. Best-selling author and presentation guru, Gar Reynolds, explains clearly why it's not a good idea to put a lot of text on your slides in his famous book, Presentation Zen. If you put everything you plan on saying onto the slides themselves, then your audience is busy reading instead of listening while you talk. In addition, they may finish reading your slides before you finish speaking about that slide, in which case they need to wait for you to finish while listening again to what they've already read. Too much text can easily make your presentation a boring and tedious experience for your audience. Keep text to a minimum by writing headlines only. Deck. A deck is a slideshow designed for the recipient to read and understand without the presenter present. For this reason, it must include more information than a presentation, as you won't be there to explain the work of the presentation when it's viewed. Decks are commonly used in the high-tech world, where entrepreneurs trying to raise funding for their startups send pitch deck ideas to investors following an in-person pitch, or without having met them at all. A lot of investors look at tens or even hundreds of ideas every week, and don't have much time to give an individual pitch deck until they know they are seriously interested in the idea. For that reason, a deck should have more information than a presentation, but should still be quick and easy to read. While a presentation contains headlines only, the text in a deck should contain a summary of what you would say if presenting the slideshow in person. Report. A report is designed for an in-person presentation that is information-heavy. If you know your audience wants lots of data, you can provide that in a report. But do remember, even when the audience is ready and prepped for a lot of information, you should still present a lot of data as simply as possible, so that an audience doesn't get overwhelmed. If a presentation contains the headlines of what you said, and a deck contains a summary, a report's slides contain everything that you would say if presenting this slideshow in person. Follow along. Let's make our own pitch deck from scratch to see how these design principles are practically applied. This is the pitch deck of a fictional startup called Language, a game for learning languages in a virtual reality environment. You've actually already seen one slide from the Language pitch deck in the previous section discussing different types of slideshows. Even though pitch decks include a summary of the information that you would discuss in a live presentation, and so are allowed to put more text on a screen than Guy Kawasaki's 6-60 rule, they should still be simple. Follow along as we create this pitch deck from scratch. Step 1. Create a presentation. Create a new presentation by opening PowerPoint and selecting New, Blank Presentation. You will be given a default title layout slide to work off, which contains two text boxes, one for the title and another below for the subtitle. Step 2. Edit text boxes. Templates are useful, but sometimes they limit our creativity. Immediately, being given a design already puts an idea in your head about how the title slide should look. Since we want to create our own design from scratch, you can delete those text boxes by clicking on their borders and pressing the delete key. If you want to be efficient, then hold down the shift key while clicking the second text boxes. This will add to your current selection, so you can delete both text boxes with one click of the delete key. Once you have a blank slide, Add a new text box by clicking the text box button in the text group of the Insert tab, and then clicking and dragging on your slide to create a text box of the desired size. To resize an existing text box, select it, and then click and drag one of the six handles that appear at its corners and in the center of its two longest sides. We've created a small box and typed in as little information as possible to clearly introduce the concept of language, the title of the company, language, and our subtitle for the slide, a virtual reality game for learning languages. Step 3. Apply the rule of thirds. Of course, our language pitch deck title screen looks a little strange. Why would the title be near the bottom of the screen? We intuitively know that this design looks weird, but there is a design rule that helps us understand why our brains are so bothered by this design. It's called the rule of thirds, and using it will help you grab and keep your audience's attention. The rule of thirds divides both the length and height of your screen into thirds by invisibly drawing three grid lines across its height and length. The four central points of intersection in these grid lines are the areas that catch your viewer's attention. Put your important information in and around those points. Applying the rule of thirds to our language title screen will require us to create an additional text box for our subtitle text. We could have just kept and resized the originals. Don't forget to delete the subtitle from the existing text box. Once we have our title and subtitle text boxes created and populated with the appropriate text, we are ready to move them into place on the slide. With a text box selected, you can use the Align Left, Center, Align Right, and Justify buttons in the Paragraph group of the Home tab to align your text. But we've chosen to drag the title and the subtitle to different intersection points on the screen to try and make our title screen look a little creative. Now, do note that we are not literally adding these lines to our slides. Rather, we are imagining these lines on our slides and using their guidance when placing elements on our slides. Step 4. Consider negative space. Our third and final trick of composition is the use of negative space, or leaving plenty of empty space so that your slide doesn't get cluttered and important information overlooked. Giving your content breathing room can multiply the impact of your points of interest. Don't try and distract from them. Make them even more attractive to the viewer by putting negative space around them. There's plenty of negative space in this title screen, but as you can tell, it's still quite plain. So next, we'll move on to discussing the design principles of color and contrast. Style is contrast. Now that we have a good layout for the title screen of our pitch deck, let's improve its appearance even more by discussing contrast, namely hierarchy and color. Contrast. When designing your presentation, the design principle to keep in mind, in addition to simplicity, is contrast. Contrast is the juxtaposition of different elements in order to highlight their unique message. Contrast as a concept is not unique to presentations. It's regularly used to strengthen a point in conversation, stories, and film. Ever heard of the phrase, "It's as clear as night and day"? Contrast is commonly used in all forms of art and communications to highlight the differences between different people, things, or concepts and draw attention to their distinctive qualities. Hierarchy. A powerful tool in building contrast is establishing hierarchy in your presentation, which means clearly emphasizing the main idea that you want to bring to your audience's attention, as well as the secondary information that you want them to consider after the primary idea. A common use of hierarchy is the contrast between a headline and subtitle. Did you think it looked confusing before when our language title was the same size as the subtitle, explaining the game concept? To create the proper hierarchy between our title and subtitle, we'll have to format the title, making it larger, and stylize the text as bold or italics, or give it an underline or a shadow, among other options. To format the text in a text box, simply click and drag or double-click on some text, and then use the various buttons in the font group of the Home tab. Take a look at how the proper hierarchy makes it so easy to understand visually what the name of the game is and its description. Color. An important part of developing contrast is picking the right color scheme, or a set of colors to use throughout your presentation. But using contrasting colors does not mean that you should use garish, clashing colors in your presentation. The different colors in your color scheme must be in balance, or your presentation will feel jarring and distract from your message. Selecting a balanced color scheme is not as easy as it sounds. Some people have a good eye for design and can intuitively select colors that go together, while others need to study color theory in a bit more detail before feeling comfortable choosing a color scheme. Either way, there are some rules and approaches that will help in selecting a color scheme for your presentation. First of all, you can always rely on black and white, a classic and a safe bet. It also helps you identify which information you would like to intentionally emphasize. The next step up from a black and white presentation is a monochromatic color scheme, which consists of multiple shades of a single color. Finally, you can select two different colors to use in your presentation. The color wheel, which is a mapping of a few common colors around a wheel, is a useful tool in this endeavor. You can use the color wheel to find a color's complementary color, which is the color on the exact opposite side of the color wheel. Or to find an analogous color, look to the adjacent color on the color wheel. Both complementary and analogous colors go well together, so the color wheel can be very useful in selecting a color scheme, even if you don't have a natural flair for design. For our presentation, two of the options we could choose for our color scheme would be orange and blue as complementary colors, or blue and green as analogous colors. Did you know? There are other types of color schemes in addition to analogous and complementary. For example, a triadic color scheme uses three colors spaced around the color wheel. The primary colors, red, yellow, and blue, are an example of a triadic color scheme, as is the triad of green, orange, and purple. You can create a triadic color scheme by drawing a triangle of three equal sides, with its vertices touching the edges of the color wheel. Which color scheme do you prefer? For the language pitch deck, we've chosen the complementary color scheme made up of the different shades of blue and their opposite colors of red, orange, and yellow. To change the color of text in a text box, select the text you would like to color, and then click on the Font Color tool in the Font group of the Home tab. It's the button with a color bar under the letter A. Alternatively, if you're working on a PC, you can use the mini toolbar that pops up next to the text when it's selected. This is a smaller version of the full toolbar found in the Home tab of the ribbon, and can also be found in other Microsoft products, such as Word and Excel. The mini toolbar contains the most commonly used formatting tools so that you don't need to keep moving your mouse up to the ribbon when formatting text. It may seem tempting to avoid contrast for the sake of simplicity, but adding a bit of visual flair helps draw the audience in. It also shows a keen eye for design, which shows attention to detail and care for the subject matter and the audience. Images and shapes. Images. Our discussion of contrast would not be complete without exploring the use of images and shapes in PowerPoint. While color and hierarchy certainly create contrast in your slides, they can never quite do the job the way shapes and images can. For our title page, we'd like to add a speech bubble image to contrast with the language text. There are a number of options in PowerPoint for inserting an image, and they can be accessed from the Images group of tools in the Insert tab. There, you'll find a Pictures button for insert a file, an Online Pictures button for searching the internet for images using the Bing search engine, and a Screenshot button to capture a part of your screen. We'd like to add a speech bubble and then place the subtitle for the title screen inside that speech bubble. This will require not only inserting an image, but also resizing both our image and subtitle text box and dragging them into position. Let's walk through the process together. Step 1. Access the image search. Click on the Online Pictures button to search for an image online. In PowerPoint for Mac, this button is in the Pictures drop-down menu. Step 2. Search for a speech bubble image. Search for speech bubble images online using PowerPoint's Bing search feature. In Mac for PowerPoint, this Bing search window is presented as a side pane. Step 3. Choose an image. Select and insert the desired image. Make sure the image has the right license so that it is permissible for use and doesn't have any copyright issues. Step 4. Move image and text on slide. Click and drag the image and text to the appropriate place on the screen. Step 5. Resize the text box. Resize the subtitle text box so that it fits inside the speech bubble. We'll discuss this later in the unit, but you have to order the speech bubble image behind the text box so that it doesn't hide the text. You can do this by right-clicking on it and selecting Send to Back. Step 6. Change title size. Change the title size of the language text so that it is appropriately sized to balance the speech bubble. When you do insert images, PowerPoint provides you with the tools to do some basic editing and styling of your images, but we'll save that for later. Shapes. Although we've added the speech bubble and altered the size of the text, our title screen could still use some customization. Perhaps the white background is just a little too plain. To fill it up, let's add a shape to the background. Remember, if we wanted to add a shape to every slide, then the master slide would be the place to make our change, as we learned in the last unit. However, since we're only adding this shape to the title slide, we can add it on the slide itself. To do so, click the Shapes button in the Illustrations group of the Insert tab. Select the shape you'd like to add, and then click and drag in the title slide to add a shape to your slide. By default, PowerPoint will add your shape on top of anything else already in your slide. This is because PowerPoint orders the different elements on a slide. Just like objects in the real world are ordered in front and behind one another, and so can hide one another, an element that is behind another element on your slide will be invisible. Like we mentioned earlier when resizing our subtitle text so it would fit inside the bubble, you can change the ordering of elements in a slide by right-clicking on any element and select Bring to Front or Send to Back. If you want to change an element's order by just one place and not move it all the way to the front or the back of your slide, then you can click the arrow at the end of these buttons for more options and select Move Forward or Move Backward. You can also access these tools in the Arrange group of the Format tab that appears when an image, shape, or text box is selected. Aligning and grouping objects and shapes. As you are dragging elements around the screen, such as your speech bubble and subtitle, you may have noticed that PowerPoint provided you with smart guides in the form of dotted lines to help you align your object relative to the other objects in your slide. Or, in our case, place the text box in the center of the speech bubble image. While aligning your objects in this simple title screen may have been easy, complex slides can contain more images that need to be aligned perfectly in the slide. To make this task easier, PowerPoint lets you group objects together so that they can be moved as one when needed, instead of having to painstakingly move each element of a carefully balanced slide. To group objects, either hold the Shift key while selecting the elements that you would like to group together, or click and drag the mouse across multiple elements. Once all the elements that you would like to group are selected, you can create a group by clicking the Arrange Group button in the Drawing group of the Home tab. When you do so, you'll see all of the separate selection outlines and resize handles for each selected element combine into one. You can now resize, drag, and position all of these group elements as one. If you ever need to break them up again into their separate elements, click the Arrange Ungroup button again in the Drawing group of the Home tab. In PowerPoint for Mac, you can also group and ungroup objects using the Group Ungroup button in the Arrange group of the Shape Format or Graphics Format tabs. Grouped objects can also be copied by pressing Ctrl-C and pasted by pressing Ctrl-V to easily duplicate many objects while keeping their positioning relative to one another. Lastly, PowerPoint has some alignment presets that can be applied to one or more objects once selected, for those times when you don't want to spend time dragging each one to the perfect position. Using the Align button in the Arrange group of the Drawing Tools Format tab, Shape Format tab on PowerPoint for Mac, you can align elements as left, center, right, top, middle, bottom, or choose to distribute the selected objects vertically or horizontally, which will space them out equally across your slide. Aligning and grouping objects and shapes can save you a lot of time, so it's worthwhile to become acquainted with these tools. What do you think of our final title screen? We've used many different tools to develop contrast in order to grab our audience's attention and emphasize our message. The more methods you use, the greater the contrast, and the greater the contrast, the greater your impact. Fantastic. Typology. If great design is great communication, and the way you communicate is largely via the text on your slides, then the fonts you use can greatly impact the message. There is an entire field of research called typography dedicated to understanding the impact different fonts have on readers. In general, all fonts can be broken down into two categories. The small features on the ends of letters in some fonts are known as serifs, so these are serif fonts. A good example of a serif font is Times New Roman. Sans serif fonts do away with the traditional decorative finish to produce a simpler font, such as Arial. These different font styles are best suited to particular situations. Sans serif tend to read better on screen, and serifs tend to read better in print. So if you are making handouts, serif can work. But if presenting on screen, stick with sans serif. While there are hundreds of fonts out there to choose from, you're generally better off sticking with one of the most widely used fonts. Some popular serif fonts include Times New Roman, Bodoni, Georgia, and Garamond. Some popular sans serif fonts include Avenir, Futura, Helvetica, and Gill Sans. You can actually use your fonts to add even more contrast to your presentation, but remember not to go over the top. Pick a maximum of two fonts and stick to them throughout the presentation. You can set the font of your text by selecting a text box or a part of its text, and then changing the font displayed in the font drop-down menu in the font group of tools in the Home tab. We've updated the fonts on our language title screen, and it makes a big difference. Creating lists. Text can take many forms in a slideshow. One of the most powerful ways of organizing the text on your screen is to use lists. A bulleted list arranges text on a slide into a list using symbols, often a circle or dash, to mark the beginning of each new point. A numbered list orders text on a slide into a list using numbers, letters, or Roman numerals. It's very easy to create a list in PowerPoint, and you can do so from scratch or by converting an existing piece of text into a list. To create a new list, place your cursor in a text box and click the bullets button or numbering button in the paragraph group of the Home tab. You can select what type of bullets or numbering you would like by clicking on the small arrow to the right of each button to produce a drop-down menu with more options. When creating a bulleted or numbered list on a slide, you'll need to use all the tools learned previously for it to look best. Simply putting a list on a slide by itself might look a little sparse. In the language pitch deck, there is a slide describing the opportunity using a bulleted list. In making it, we've utilized our complementary color scheme and balanced the bulleted list against an image. We've arranged them in the center of the screen by grouping the image with the bulleted list and using PowerPoint's align feature to center both the grouped image and list, as well as the slide title. One last trick we implemented was to select the right font size for the list and space out the bullet points so that they take up enough room on the slide. You can add padding or line spacing to any text item by right-clicking in the text box and clicking the paragraph button. This will provide you with a pop-up window for setting your paragraph's spacing, indentation, and text direction. If you just need to change the spacing between lines of text, you can use the line spacing drop-down list found in the paragraph group of the Home tab. Other text tricks. If lists don't meet your need, there are other ways to simplify and organize text in PowerPoint. For one thing, you can create columns using the Add or Remove Columns button in the paragraph group of the Home tab. Even though live presentations abide by the six-word rule, or as close as you can get to it, pitch decks and presentations may require some longer chunks of text. When you do need to include a lengthier piece of text on a slide, using columns is a handy way to keep a chunk of text small enough for viewers to digest. Another text trick is using WordArt, which is a feature that allows you to format your text using special effects such as textures, outlines, shadows, bending, rotating, and more. You can add WordArt by clicking the Insert WordArt button located in the text group of tools in the Insert tab. It's the button with the icon of a rotated letter A. Clicking the WordArt button displays a drop-down list with a number of different preset WordArt styles, and clicking one of those style icons will add a blank WordArt text box to your document. Simply delete the existing text and type in your message to create your WordArt title. You can convert existing text to a separate WordArt text box by highlighting the text with your cursor, then clicking the Insert WordArt button. Alternatively, you can apply the WordArt styles to existing text in its current text box by selecting some text or the entire text box, and then utilizing the tools in the WordArt Styles group of the Format tab, Shape Format tab on Mac. Explore the styles available in the WordArt Styles group. WordArt Styles Carousel. These are preset WordArt styles that you can apply to your text with the click of a button, displayed as a row of different demo WordArt in the Format tab, Shape Format tab on Mac. The styles may include graphic effects, such as embossed text that makes it look three-dimensional, or text outlines, different colors, shadows, patterns, and more. Text fill. You can fill your text with anything you want. This includes different colors, pictures, gradients, and textures. Text outline. You can give your text an outline, as well as set the outline's color, weight, or thickness, and style, a solid line or different styles. To use this effectively, your text needs to be quite large, or the outline will just essentially look like you changed the color of the text. With a small font, the letters won't be big enough to actually see the difference between the letter and its outline. Text effects. You can manually apply the different text effects included in many of the options available in the WordArt Styles Carousel. The effects available are divided into submenus of applying different shadows, reflections, glow, bevel, 3D rotation, and transforms. As we've seen in other features, PowerPoint will show you a preview of these different styles and effects when you hover over them, which will help you find the look that you are happy with quickly and easily. We've actually been using a shadow in our language titles all along, but have added some of these WordArt styles to give the slide an outline and bevel. A final text trick is to include a hyperlink in your presentation so that a viewer can click through to open a website. This is useful for references to complex information that would be overwhelming in your presentation, or as an action item that you hope the viewer will take as a next step. You can add a hyperlink by selecting the text to be used as a hyperlink and clicking the Link button in the Insert tab and entering the website to link to. You can also link text to a file, another location in this presentation, or to a different presentation. You can even make the link compose an empty email to a preset email address. In our pitch deck, we obviously want the investor to download our game and be in touch about possibly investing. We could include a link to download the game or send us an email so we can follow up with them personally. You've been following along in your own PowerPoint pitch deck thus far, so you should have a good mastery of using fonts to enhance the contrast and appearance of your presentation. Let's learn one more trick to save you some time as you prepare for your next presentation. Importing Word Outlines. If you are used to working in Microsoft Word, you know that one of the views available when working on your document is the Outline view, which breaks your whole document into an easily navigable hierarchy of collapsible sections. To make an outline in Word, view your document in the Outline view, accessible from the Views group of the View tab, then hold the Control key or Command key on Mac while clicking on any text that you would like to be a slide title. In the Outline Tools group of the Outlining tab that is displayed in the ribbon when in Outline view, set the level of these lines of text to Level 1. Then select any text that you would like to be regular slide text in your slideshow and assign them a Level 2 designation. When saving your file, set the File Format drop-down list to RTF format if you are working on a Mac, as a file in Word format, .docx, cannot be imported. Back in PowerPoint, click the New Slide button in the Home tab and select Slides from Outline in the drop-down menu, or Outline on Mac. In the Insert Outline dialog box, find and select your Word outline and select Insert to import your Word outline as slides. Any text that has been given a Level 1 designation will appear as a title on a new slide, and the Level 2 text will appear as the slide's body text. It may take you a couple of times to get used to it, but important Word outlines can be used to create a presentation skeleton really quickly from existing documents. It can save you a lot of time and effort. PowerPoint Online. So how much design can you do using PowerPoint Online? Almost all of the tools covered in this unit are available in PowerPoint Online, with some exceptions such as grouping and ungrouping objects, aligning objects, creating multiple columns of text, inserting WordArt into your document, and importing Word outlines. While there are quite a few powerful tools that PowerPoint for Desktop offers, which are not available in PowerPoint Online, it's worth it to remember that PowerPoint Online is a new product that is lightweight enough to be used from any mobile browser. It's a useful addition to the PowerPoint family and is really meant for working on the go. Knowledge check. Test your knowledge of new information by answering these questions, and then review the feedback. Question 1. Which style of PowerPoint slideshows is least likely to benefit from adding columns? Option 1. Presentation. Presentations and their headline style rarely benefit from columns. Option 2. Pitch deck. Pitch decks sometimes contain long chunks of text that could benefit from being organized into columns. Try again. Option 3. Report. Since reports tend to contain a lot of information, as well as charts, graphs, and other visuals, it's actually the type most likely to benefit from columns. Which style of slideshow is on the opposite end of the spectrum from a report? Option 4. Note card. This isn't one of the three slideshow styles taught in the unit. You might want to review that section again. Question 2. If you wanted to add a shadow effect to text in a slide, what PowerPoint tool would you use? Option 1. The font group. While most of the options to edit text are in the font group, special effects like a shadow are found elsewhere. Option 2. Smart guides. Smart guides are used for alignment and positioning, not for text effects. Option 3. WordArt. WordArt contains many preset styles that allow you to create visually striking text. Option 4. Text box. A text box is just a shape that text goes into. It wouldn't create an effect on the text itself. Question 3. Ironically, creating a simple but effective slideshow takes more blank than creating a long one. Option 1. Passion for the subject. People with passion for the subject of a presentation often have trouble seeing past the passion to consider what their audience's needs are and might create overly complex or long slideshows. Option 2. Knowledge about the subject. Being able to simplify or edit down a slideshow isn't related to how much one knows about a subject. And in fact, people who know a lot about a subject are sometimes tempted to include too many facts. Option 3. Graphic design abilities. Knowledge of basic design elements can help create a simple but effective presentation, but it's not related to the length of a project. Furthermore, it can be tempting for someone with many graphic design skills under their belt to try to include too many in a slideshow. Option 4. Time. The most important element in editing is time. It often takes longer to create a streamlined, simple, effective presentation than it does a longer one. Editing down a full presentation to its core elements can be quite time-consuming. Conclusion. Simplicity, contrast, balance, color, typology. There are so many factors to consider when designing your presentations. You now have more than the technical knowledge of how to create a presentation. You know how to make a presentation that is powerful. These are the kind of artistic skills that differentiate between good and great presentations and will stand you in good stead as you enter the workforce. Learn to make your point, to say what you mean, and to do it clearly, beautifully, and with power and grace. That's the reason to master PowerPoint, to make your point powerfully.